Praise the Lord. So we're excited about that, excited about the good things of the Lord. Would you stand, please, as we look to the Word of God in Zephaniah? Rarely do we go to these what are called minor prophets, only because the size of their book is much smaller than the Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and so on, but no less important. Zephaniah 3 and 17 is the verse of Scripture that I want us to take a look at here today. And thank God that these powerful words from the Bible have great impact and great importance for us here today in our time. Amen. Zephaniah 3 and 17, would you read with me this one verse? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Praise God. That sounds like a celebration to me. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful he is in the midst. In the midst. That's what I want to share with you for a short while today. Let's thank the Lord. Oh God, we love you. Hallelujah. We praise you and lift you up, Lord. God, we glorify you. Hallelujah. You're worthy of our praise, Lord. You're worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we praise and exalt you today. God, help us, Lord, to feel your presence and to be in the midst, God, of your goodness and your glory. Praise your great name. Be in our midst today, Lord, and help us to focus our faith upon you and draw closer to you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. When we consider the import of this season and we celebrate the coming of Christ, it's amazing to consider what he came to be in the middle of. If it is the Hilton, like young people are going to the end of the month, that's a nice place. That's a beautiful hotel. But the Lord didn't come in that setting. He came in the midst of a stable, the animals, lambs perhaps that had been born there, the manger. We sometimes in our presentations of the Christmas season get a feel for perhaps how wonderful that was, and the scent of the hay and the sound of the lambs and the cows. But that doesn't take away from the fact that usually a stable is a pretty stinky place, a pretty dirty place, and not one that you would imagine as a mother, and you mothers today imagine that where you would prefer to bring your firstborn into the world. Nope, that would not be your choice at all. And certainly, that is a very odd thing. But that's what he came to be in the midst of. The shepherds, hearing the angel's message, them out on the hillside, the stars shining brightly, and they could perhaps glance back at Bethlehem, as they were not far away on the hills and plains and so on, and see the lights twinkling of that city, and they could recognize there's a nice warm hearth, there's a good hot meal, there's a family waiting for me, and here I am out here taking care of these sheep. And we'll leave off any of the adjectives that might have been applied in their thinking in that midnight hour. But suddenly, a bright light, brighter than any that they had ever seen before. And the announcement of good tidings with great joy. In the city of David is born unto you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They heard those words, and oh, the thrill that must have coursed through their veins and tingle up and down their spine, as all of a sudden there was with the angel a heavenly host praising God and glorifying the Lord, saying, glory to God in the highest. Amen. They heard those sayings, they heard that singing, and they rapidly ran to Bethlehem to behold it. The kings, or the wise men from the east, and the young child that they presented their gifts to, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he came in the midst of all of that. Praise God. As a young boy, when they journeyed to Jerusalem for their time of sacrifice, he's 12 years old, and they are journeying back to Nazareth and suddenly realize he's not with them. And those poor parents, Joseph and Mary, reversed their course, went back to Jerusalem, and Luke 2 and 46 describes what they saw. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. The people who were experienced, intelligent, learned in the law, and discussing its merits back and forth, and no doubt going into great theological depth. And here's their 12-year-old son sitting right in the middle of them, asking them questions, giving them answers, and they were astonished. Amen. His parents were amazed. Oh, that's the encounter, and that's the reaction you get from the encounter with Jesus. Astonishment, amazement, because that's what he is. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know the power of the one who sat in the midst of those discussing the law, and he is the eternal word. He is the word made flesh. Praise God. Dwelling among them, in the midst of them, and thank God for the power of the Lord. Now, Luke 4 and 18 is a quote we know from Isaiah 61 and 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he would declare. The Spirit of the Lord was in him without measure. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the one who has the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what's so amazing about this Christmas season. Praise God. I'm thankful that we know the reality and the true identity of who Jesus is. He came as God manifest in the flesh. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm going to preach the good tidings. Amen. I'm going to open the prison doors. I'm going to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'm going to open the blind eyes, and I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. Praise God. He promised all of these things. And the people of Nazareth looked at one another and said, isn't this Joseph's son? Right over the top of their heads. Here he is in the midst of them. And they did not grasp who he is. They still thought, this is the carpenter. This is the one who made my rocking chair last week and delivered it. Who does he think he is proclaiming himself to be able to do these things? When Jesus began to unfold to them even more about how he was the power and the blessing of God, and he explained to them there were many widows in Elijah's time, but he was sent to only one, the widow of Sarepta. He didn't even say it was a Jewish widow. There were many lepers in Elisha's time, but Elisha was only sent to one, and he was a Syrian. He was not a Jew. Oh, they got the message. They got it, and they were mad. You mean to say that there were many who were ministered to, but they were not Jews? They heard the word, but they were not blessed? And if we don't listen to you, we're not going to get what we need. They got the message, and it made them mad. Nazareth was not receptive. No, they took him out. They led him to a high cliff upon which the city was built, and they were going to cast him off. But Luke 4 and 30 says, he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. They wanted it their way. They didn't want him his way. God help us to be careful that we're not trying to make God fit into our way, that we're not trying to channel God into our ideas and preconceived notions and thoughts of how it should be done and how it should come about. I want to go his way. I want to walk his way. I want to believe his way. I want to obey his way, because Jesus, passing through the midst of them, went on his way. And not many miracles, the Bible says, was done in Nazareth because of their unbelief. They missed. Instead of having Jesus in the midst, they missed their opportunity. They missed what was in their presence. They missed what they could have experienced. Oh, God, help me not to miss out on what God has in store for me when he comes in the midst. Praise God. But I grab a hold of the power and the blessing of the Lord and make sure I walk in obedience to the direction that he has in store for me. He cried out to Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen doth her chicks. I would have protected you. I would have provided for you. I would have been a source of blessing for you, but you would not." Jesus was in their midst, but they missed their opportunity. God help us to make sure that when we gather, amen, he desired to gather like a hen doth her brood. Thank God that we can gather in his name. Jesus talked about two or three. He would have gathered them as a hen doth her chicks. Thank God we can gather in his name. Jesus said, if two of you agree on touching anything in heaven, it shall be done. Thank God for the value of unity. Thank God for the unity that we can have in our experience here as we gathered together and prayed for those who need a healing touch in the Lord. Thank God that the Lord will do his work and healing will come forth. Salvation will be provided. The blessing of God will come forth in a great way. If two or three gather in my name, he said, there will I be in the midst. Hallelujah. The Southeast Conference, they gathered together there in the church in Juneau with the Nelsons, and the power of God came into that place. Praise God. We felt the Lord moving in our midst, and what a thrill to be able to look over here on this side of the pulpit and see two little granddaughters kneeling there, one of them praying for the other. Aaliyah, who has already received the Holy Ghost, and Taylor, who has been baptized but has not yet received the Holy Ghost. 2 6-year-old girls, and one talking in tongues with her hand upon the shoulder of the other, and the one reaching out for the touch of God. Oh, my friend, it's worth it to be in the midst of Jesus. It's worth it to be in the midst of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring forth his blessing. Amen. The crippled man could not get into the house where Jesus was. The Pharisees were there. The doctors of the law were there. There were many who gathered from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. They were all there, a great multitude, so that they could not carry the man in. So what'd they do? They went home, waited for another time. Oh, no, they didn't. Oh, no. Up on the housetop. Click, click, click. Praise God. Amen. Not down through the chimney. No, they began to tear the roof off. Praise God. They lowered the man down. And Jesus said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Praise God. But he didn't stop there. He said, arise, take up thy couch, and go unto thy house. Praise God. I'm glad that when we're in the midst of the one who is almighty, he can do the work of healing. He can do the work of salvation. He can provide the touch and the blessing of the Lord to bring about a change. Hallelujah. That we know the name above every name. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And just like the wise men who went home another way, thank God that man picked up his bed and walked out of there. Carried there, but now he's going home another way. Healed, delivered, strengthened, blessed. Hallelujah. Because that's what happens when you get in the midst of Jesus. Oh my, how our world tries to misconstrue the truths about Jesus and their misconceptions about the Lord. It's like they're trying to put him in a mist. Not in the midst, but in a mist, mysterious, mystical, and seeming as though he's just like any other religious world leader. He's just plain like everybody else, just a man like everybody else. Thank God he came as a man. But oh, I'm thankful in his sensational birth, in his horrible death, there was a wonderful resurrection, and that's the hope that we have today. Praise God. Hollywood may try to construe and misconstrue all of those things and bring about a lot of misconceptions, but I'm thankful that we can have him in the midst. Hallelujah. And no, it is not mysterious. It is not mystical. It's powerful because of God bringing forth his goodness. Now, the amazing thing here is in Philippians 2 and 15, that you can likewise bring him in the midst. Huh. His spirit was poured out, and the Lord said in 2 Corinthians 6:16, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Praise God. So you bring the Lord in the midst. You bring the Lord in your home, in your workplace, in your school. Praise God, because he's dwelling in you. He's walking in you. The power of God is there. And so Philippians 2 and 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine. Praise God. You're not swallowed up. You're not made insignificant. You're not pushed aside in terms of God's goodness and his power. No, you shine as lights in the world. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord, that you will not be overcome by what is crooked and what is perverse and what the message says is squalid and polluted. But thank God the power of the Lord will be revealed as you continue on in your walk with him, blameless and harmless and without rebuke, because the power of the Lord is ordering your steps in his word. The power of God is helping you to overcome the temptations and the problems that the world and the devil will put in your way. Thank God. And you can shine as lights in the world. Take the name of Jesus with you. That old song says, child of sorrow and of woe. Hallelujah. It will bring you through temptations. It will bring you through difficulties. It will bring you through problems and situations. Take the name of Jesus with you. Hallelujah. Take it everywhere you go. Oh, I'm thankful that our God is mighty. Hallelujah. Now, David's mighty men, a number of them, 30 plus, and our focus falls upon one named Shammah. Now, Shammah stood in a bean field, and that might seem to be insignificant. Why take a stand in a field of lentils? Why is that valuable? Why is that important? Because it was important for him to simply take a stand. Amen. Thank God that we can take a stand on what we know the Word of God to say. We can take a stand on what we know God has done for us. Hallelujah. We can take a stand on what we know the power of God can do for others as well. Hallelujah. And all of the world and the devil and the church world that wants to ignore the truths from God's Word and wants to compromise, especially at this time of the year, and say it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. No, I'm going to take a stand because I know my God will be there with me in the midst. Praise God. So Shammah took a stand when the Philistines gathered together into a troop, and they were coming to take, they were coming to ruin, they were coming to rob. But Shammah stood when all the other people fled, and the Bible says he defended the ground where he was, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord brought the victory because Shammah stood his ground and said, this belongs to us. This is not something we're going to give away. This is not something we're going to let get ruined or get robbed. We're going to stand because God can bring forth the victory. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord to do that work. Now notice the Bible says he stood in the midst. He didn't get to the edge. He didn't totter and teeter there as though he was going to fall out of the place where he belonged. He stood right in the middle. He didn't allow himself to be tricked, to be deceived, or to compromise and to move to the edge either way. He said, I'm going to stay right in the middle so that they understand this is my ground. This is where I belong. And this belongs to the people of God, and I'm not going to let the enemy take it. Oh, friend, if you take the stand on your experience, you take the stand on what you know the Word of God to teach, you take the stand on the blessing of the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord will be the one who brings the victory. The Lord will be the one who provides what you need. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because He always desires to be with the overcomer. The Bible tells us, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't let the evil overcome you. Don't let it batter you and knock you down and bash you. No, you stand up and overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Because He's in the midst. Seven promises to the overcomer in Revelation 2 and 3. Seven promises. And one of them is, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Wow. We'll be in the midst with him. Hallelujah. Even as I also overcame, Jesus said, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can know the power of the Lord. Now, again, let's go back to our scripture, Zephaniah 3 and 17. In the midst is what we've been focused on. In the midst is what we've rejoiced over. But notice how Zephaniah 3:17 says, He, the Lord God, thy God, in the midst of thee is mighty. Praise God. He's not just there, He's mighty. Hallelujah. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the one who is almighty. As he spoke to Abram in Genesis and said, I am the almighty. Walk before me. He is the almighty that John saw in Revelation. The Lord God almighty and the Lamb. Hallelujah. Almighty appears 57 times in the Bible. And every time it refers to our God. Hallelujah. Thank God the one who is in our midst is mighty. And he can display his divine might for you. And the greatest work that he can do is he is mighty to save. Oh, mighty to heal, mighty to provide, mighty to deliver, mighty to do all of those wonderful things. But the most important thing is he's mighty to save. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We like to rejoice. And we love rejoicing. Thank God we're able to rejoice. Amen. As Brother Reagan's leading songs here, we could rejoice in the blessings of the Lord and feel his wonderful presence come and move in here. Hallelujah. Thank God we can rejoice in our God. But notice how he will rejoice over you. He will rejoice over you with joy. The Bible tells us the disciples came rejoicing. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice in this, that your name is written down. Praise God. And then Jesus rejoiced. Luke 10 and 21, Jesus rejoiced because he was so thankful. His disciples, those who were believing in him, those who were following him, were finally making connection with the power that he wanted to give them. Jesus rejoiced because they understood the power of the name, hallelujah, of Jesus over even the devils, and the power that their name would be written, praise God, in that eternal book of life. Oh, friend, that's where I want to be. That's where I want my name to be, in the midst of. Praise God. And Jesus took his disciples aside privately. He said, come over here. Privately, he took them aside. Oh, thank God we can have that private time with the Lord. We can have that time of reaching out to him, looking into his word, calling upon his name, the tears flowing, and we're there all by ourselves because privately we're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And we're feeling his presence in the midst of all of our problems, all of our questions, all of our worries and concerns. He can be in the midst. And he told his disciples, there are many prophets, many kings that wanted to see what you're seeing. They wanted to hear what you're hearing, but they didn't have that opportunity. But now here you are. Oh, it's good to have Jesus in the midst. He'll joy over you with singing. The angels and the heavenly host that appeared to the shepherds must have been absolutely astonishing. It must have been incredible to hear that angelic host praising the Lord and lifting him up. What John heard in those mighty thunderings and many waters, it must have been awesome for him to hear those things. But oh, to hear Jesus singing over you with joy. Praise God. Jesus told three stories of things that were lost and then being found in Luke 15. And each story ended in rejoicing. Come and rejoice with me. I found my lamb. Come and rejoice with me. I found my coin. Come and rejoice, said the Father. We're going to kill the fatted lamb. Our son who was dead is now alive. Our son who was lost is now is found. No wonder Jesus said, the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. Praise God. Would you stand with me now? Hallelujah. Heaven throws a party over one who repents. Praise God. Over one who makes a change. Over one who asks God for forgiveness and a change in their lives. Praise God. Repentance is such a positive change. The world makes it look drab. The world makes it look like it's just a completely negative thing. You're giving up all joy. You're giving up all satisfaction, gratification. The world tries to make it appear as though you're losing out. Oh, I'm gaining so much. Hallelujah, in the blessings of the Lord as I ask for his forgiveness. Oh, I'm losing all right. I'm losing the guilt. I'm losing the garbage. I'm losing all of that stuff that would try to hold me back. And thank God that I can know his power and his blessings. Amen. There'd be those who would say, I don't need to repent. I haven't done anything wrong. Sometimes we need to repent over feeling like we don't need to repent. Amen. And just say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, help me. Lord, change me. Lord, make me. Lord, use me. Praise God. Praise God. I need to be that vessel that he can use. Can you imagine Sister Glover inviting you over to the house? And to sit down to a nice meal. Table's all set. Food smells good. And she puts a dirty dish in front of you. Crusted fork. Gross. Awful. Sometimes we present ourselves to the Lord. Lord, use me. And we look just like something that's already been messed up. You know, Lord, forgive me. Lord, change me. Lord, forgive me for not believing you like I should. Lord, forgive me for not obeying you in every way that I should. Praise God. Lord, forgive me for not being as faithful as I should. Not just coming to church. Not just being in the house of the Lord, that's important. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, the Bible says. But the faithfulness that I need to demonstrate to him in every circumstance, in every area or event of my life, God, help me. Help me. Now, here's a phrase in that verse that I tried to figure out. What does this mean? And that phrase that says, he will rest in his love. We rest in his love. We rejoice in his love. We're thankful for his love. What does it mean, he will rest in his love? Here's what it means. God so loved the world that he gave. Oh my, Christmas about giving. He gave his only begotten son. And we see him lying in the manger. We hear the angel choir. We see the wise men presenting their gifts. He gave. He gave. And he will rest in his love because there's nothing else that will work. There's nothing else but his love that will get the job done. He could display his anger. He could demonstrate his power. He can strike fear in our hearts. But none of those things will work like his love. So, I respond to the love that he displayed. I give myself to the love that he extends. Praise God. I walk in that love. I rejoice in that love. I live in that love. Amen. What an incredible God. And he's in our midst right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're in the midst. We're in the midst of one who extends his might. He extends his spirit. He extends his word. He extends his love to us. Praise God. Let's raise our hands and love him now.